Did you know the best way to support Thanks for the Rewind show is to go to our Amazon store, which is going to be located in the description of this episode. Baby, did you know this? If they click on the link for the next 24 hours, whatever they shop for on Amazon, it could be Zevia, sugar-free soda made with a natural sweetener that won't kill your liver. Zevia, keep you in ketosis. Use our Amazon link. Whatever you need. You need underwear? Use our Amazon link.
But what happens? You said within 24 hours, what?
Once you click it, you got to use it within 24 hours from that time when you clicked it. So then we get commission, a little bit of kickback for us. More than just the whole alien thing. More like a interdimensional type of thing.
What?
Yeah, dude.
What are you even talking about? Like, what do you mean interdimensional?
Interdimensional, like not the little green men you see, you know.
So what movies. Are they?
Possibly from another dimension, crossing over.
I came on here to have a very relaxing
evening. Oh, dude, this was the plan, man.
Anytime you come to Vegas. We have an exciting guest today, Lisayette in the house.
How's it going, everybody? I'm so happy to be here. We've known each other for a long time.
Yeah, man. Definitely over 10 years now.
Yeah, that's crazy. It just kind of happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like when was the first time I met you?
I think I don't even remember.
Question. It wasn't in this photo back here. We have two pictures of you. And I was wondering if that was when we met you.
Oh, yeah.
Was it at the South Point? Oh, there's one.
That's one with Ian, my buddy Ian.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to ask about him. That wasn't the first time because I came to your house. I had already started comedy at that point.
Damn.
Thank God my fat face is being covered by the light.
I don't think I remember. Maybe it could have been a South Point.
It might have been a South Point because I know you and Joey were like talking, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like you guys were in contact and I just remember, God, you told me that I stayed in this room. I knew I stayed at your house. I didn't know it was this room. That's crazy.
Yeah. This is the Lisayette suite.
It's transformed since you last been in this room, so I can see where you got confused.
Yeah, you had your own private restroom and everything.
Yeah, it was great. And then you took me to Cane's for the first time. I felt such a special boy. Dude,
that was fun, man. Yeah, you came out here, and I'm always bragging about you, how you came out here, and you're like, where can I do spots? You were just ready to...
Oh, yeah, I'm ready to do it now. I love doing spots. But I can't imagine your schedule, dude. Like, I start work at 8 every day, and that's... I feel late. I feel like, oh, but I have to wake up so early. The fact that you have to like be ready like before 7 o'clock is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, man. I am not a morning person, but just got used to it, I guess. I hate it. I hate getting up that early. But
it was a big transition. Like, because when I was in LA doing mics and stand up, I had the podcast with Joey, but I didn't have a day job. So like it didn't really matter. Like Joey would always call usually pretty early.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to be anywhere or do anything. And now working, I guess it's 9 hours a day. And then I eat dinner and then I go straight to a mic.
Yeah, man. Well,
it's a lot.
It's a lot. And I think it's harder. Like, I think it's harder in the East Coast, man. Because in the East Coast, it seems like more people commute with public transportation, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, luckily, my job is remote. So I don't have to. I usually wake up, brush my teeth, and go back and start working.
Yeah.
I've been to New York a few times. Like I did a week in New York a couple of times last year, and like 4 or 5 days this year. There, like that is hard. But like if you're in a city, like now in Worcester where I live, I can do Sunday through Thursday. I can probably do like 6-ish mics,
mm-hmm.
In that area. Like, I used to go to Rhode Island a little bit, Connecticut to do mics, all over Mass. But, like, when I was in New York, you can start at, like, 3 p.m. every day and go to midnight easily and do 5 or 6 mics a night.
That was the first time I saw open mics, like, doing comedy when it's still daylight.
Oh, yeah, I did. We had that in L.A., though. We had that a little bit in L.A. It's a lot in New York.
A lot, yeah.
But it's like, so yeah, like
it's tough over there, man.
It's tough, but like if you're doing it for comedy, and like you know, like your job is either not that important or you don't care about it, like you could, it's like it would be worth having to do the public transportation to be like to have that access to stand up.
Yeah.
And just like as much like, cause, but there's a lot here though. There's a lot in Vegas.
Oh yeah. It's, especially now from last time when you were here, there's even way more. After the lockdown and everything, everything just like sprung up in full like fury, dude. More comedy clubs too.
Yeah, there is. There's a bunch of comedy clubs. It's really cool, and it's like because you do shows at Wise Guys too, huh?
Yeah, Wise Guys is like my second home club now, pretty much.
That's awesome.
Jimmy Kimmel's is another spot.
Yeah. The guy I'm opening for is someone named Josh Wolf, and he has every. If I didn't have a show tonight,
he has a residency.
He has there, every Monday night at 7 o'clock.
Heck yeah! Shout out to Josh Wolf.
Yeah,
I still have him. I need to meet him, bro.
He's so nice.
Yeah, I remember hearing about him ever since the church days. Him starting comedy with Joey out there in Seattle, Brody Stevens.
Oh yeah, he has so many funny stories about. And but he's just like it's I mean you see a new headliner every week. At least one, if not, I don't know who you see at Wise Guys.
Now they got two Wise Guys.
That yeah right
mm-hmm. yeah they got one in Town Square. They just had Dave Attell recently.
Every time I am with a new headliner or like I see how like you know touring because that's like I don't know like from my dream is to be like a touring headliner.
Yeah,
like to just be out on the road every week or like you know I think Josh says he does like 40 weeks a year. That would be like. Pretty amazing. But like you see how like different comedians treat other comedians and like treat their openers and you know like even just like the idea of like bringing someone on the road like it A I'm very lucky that Josh does it but then B on the weeks that I'm not with Josh like I do like one or two weekends a month with Josh right now.
Oh cool.
So like the other weeks that I'm not with Josh I've been trying slowly to get it like into these other clubs and like I'm making a little bit of headway in Boston, but like every club I talk to is always like, hey, we like you. Even if I go with Josh, they'll be like, hey, we like you. We'd love you to come back. But every headliner brings their feature. So like it's a little bit of a bummer as like someone who's trying to get into get like spots like that.
Yeah.
But it's also very cool. Like I'm also I get to see both sides of it because even though I'm jealous or like frustrated that I can't get into clubs as a feature, I see like oh it's so cool that like Josh doesn't need to. I'm not really, you know, a few people might come out and see me because of like I put it out there, but he's not like selling out because I'm there.
Yeah,
he's already pretty much selling out, if not selling out by himself. So, but like he takes money out of his own pocket to like fly me out and get me a hotel. So like the idea of like I could maybe do that for someone someday is that like I always think about them like oh that'd be fucking badass if I got to bring someone on the road.
Yeah,
like not only am I doing the road but I get to like bring someone out.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Comics helping out comics. Ari said that is like no one's gonna help comics more than a comic.
Yeah, comics are very helpful. It's it's like you let me say, I think the time I stayed here, I was doing shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was like the last time I did the LA Comedy Club.
We did a hookah lounge with a comedy club.
Oh, yeah. That girl got married. She was like 8 feet tall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys took a picture together. Wasn't it the same night? Didn't a little person show up also?
Maybe. That same night? I have a joke about little people now. Oh, well, kind of. But it's more about me. But no, yeah, God, yeah, that was cool.
That was a fun show.
We did a bunch of shows that week.
Yeah,
that was a good time.
We did a midnight show, I think, at LA Comedy Club too.
Yeah, we did that. We did, and then I got high and went to like we went to lunch with your friends or something after. Maybe it was at the movie. I got high.
Oh, and then probably every day you got high.
No, that's fair.
We went every day.
Well, we went to the dispensary. And I'm all waiting for him in the car, and he comes back, and some dude recognized him.
Oh, yeah.
In line. He's like, hey, are you Lisa?
And they didn't recognize what I look like. It was just my voice.
Oh, they heard your voice.
Yeah. That happens occasionally. That's funny. I forgot about that.
That's so cool for that to be recognized as your voice.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I hate my voice, but it's always cool that people, like, my girlfriend's kids think it's, like, the coolest thing in the world. It doesn't happen that often. It happens like once a month. Nothing. I mean, and I know like that usually doesn't happen for like the majority of people. So I get that it's cool, but it's not like, you know, Joey leaves the house and six times in an hour, people are like, Joey.
Yeah.
So when it happens to me like once a month, I'm like, that's pretty cool.
Dude, it's happened to me a few times and it's never for comedy. It's always like, you fixed my modem. And that's like for real. That's Mitz. One time this guy is like, hey man, I think I remember you. And I'm like, and I got comedy mode. I'm all switching back to comedy. I'm like, oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Probably a Strat. I do shows at the Strat.
he's like no. My upload time was down.
I don't know. Yeah, he's like, you're really nice and you guys couldn't fix it, but I remember you were nice though, but your company sucks. Yeah. like
that's okay. Awesome. But it like they're usually probably happy. Like I remember just yesterday I was at the airport and this guy saw me with Josh. Like he didn't listen to the podcast with Joey, but he saw me with Josh. So anytime someone likes my comedy, like I want to talk to them. Mm-hmm. So like eventually he's like, hey man, I gotta go. Like he's like I wanted to just say good job and leave.
Yeah.
And then I was just talking to him for like eight. I was like, what do you think about this joke? Like, it was it's really cool. I'm having a great time on the road.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever done it.
You've been elevating. I was telling Freddie, just talking about you overall, just your comedy career.
Oh, thank you.
You've been now, featuring this week in Las Vegas.
I know. I can't believe it.
Congratulations.
First feature week.
Thank you.
Vegas, man.
I know. The whole week.
Seven shows.
I know.
And then some.
I'm going to do some of Brett Ernst shows, so nine shows at the Strat.
Oh, you're doing Brett's.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, and then we'll see if I get any others throughout the week. But yeah, like I've heard, and it's funny because, like, when I on the church, a lot of times people would come in, like, headliners, and they'd be, like, a little bit bummed. But even with Vegas, they're like, oh, it's such a long week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, you're there for a week, but
yeah,
it's pretty badass to, like, be at, a major on-the-strip casino.
Yeah.
Like, at a club every night. That's fucking cool.
Right? Yeah. That accomplishment. Tell yourself I'm that. Because, the negative voice always comes in. You tell and repeat that to yourself. You ride that wave of success. You earned it. No matter what happens every night, it's going to go great.
Are you saying I'm
going to
bomb?
No, but
hey. No matter, even when you bomb.
Hey, I just know from the, what did Joey say in the last episode you guys had? And that's another thing I mentioned that I had note here of your elevation is two things, your fitness journey and then the podcast you have with Joey Diaz, the weekly check-in.
Oh, thank you.
The recent episode I heard, wanted to catch up on listening when I knew you were going to come in. And you talked about one special weekend that it was a bad weekend for you.
Oh, yeah.
And Joey gave you really good advice, the perspective of how to look at it when you're bombing and what to learn from it. And when you're bombing, how to pivot. Did you prep your comedy specifically, uniquely for this?
Yeah, he even helped me this lot because when we recorded that, I had just been in Connecticut. Then my next week and the weekend that was yesterday, I was in Nashville with Josh. And Thursday, I didn't bomb like I did in Connecticut, but I didn't do great. And so I was listening to it, and I called him, and he's like, hey. And he didn't say it exactly like this, but he basically said, you need to start smoking weed before you go on stage, and you need to have fun. And he's like, you need to get out of your head. You're thinking too much. And I listened to my set, and we were talking before we started about how a lot of my jokes are making fun of myself. That's it's just what happened. It's not all of them, but a good amount of them. And it's not I'm not suicidal or anything. It's not a cry for help. It's just what I've learned to make jokes about. This past weekend, I felt like some people, they weren't going aw, but it was a weird sort of thing where I felt like they weren't really into it.
Mm.
And so I reorganized my jokes. I wrote some jokes on Nashville. I wrote some jokes and did it in a different order. So I didn't start with shitting on myself, and it went so much better. A lot of comics and even myself, I didn't really love to smoke before I went on. Cause it's gone bad before. I took an edible. Joey was doing these shows in New York, I would take an edible on stage usually. It would go okay. But this show, I took an edible on the way in, but the Uber took it. Sometimes it takes an hour to get to the tunnel from New York and then another hour in the tunnel.
That tunnel
sucks.
So
tunnel, I mistimed the edible. So by the time I got up there, I like kind of lost my spot a little bit. Did you ever meet Eric Rocha in LA?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He was on the church a bunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of my
fell into video games and
one of my best bomb. It wasn't even a bomb. I guess it kind of was on edibles. Was we were doing the store with Joey. We were doing the belly room. I think it was my first time in the belly room. And there's like a comics only bar in the back. So Eric and I went, but we were like too nervous to go in because we're not past the store. Mm-hmm. So someone let us in, and all week Joey said I was going to host. So I get to that bar. I see Joey. He like throws some like edible mints into my mouth.
Oh, my God.
And then he said, hey, you're not hosting anymore. Chappelle wants to do 30 in front of you, so you'll go up after Chappelle.
Whoa. Oh,
and I'm God. Like maybe a year in the stand-up, something like that, not even. And I like start like I basically shit my pants. And like I think he told everyone at the bar to like play along because no one said anything. I'm just sitting there dying, like,
yeah,
like melting, like, and then like I get up because it's like this. Not only is it the store, not only is it my first time in the belly room, I'm high. It's Joey's yeah. show. I'm sorry, it's Joey's show. And then like I didn't want to like I was paranoid about running the light. I didn't want to run the light at the store.
Yeah.
And then we get up to the belly room. And as soon, like right before the show's gonna start, I'm like, "Where's Chappelle?" He's like, "Chappelle's not here." And then I go on, I start repeating a joke at the end of my set.
Oh, that's the worst.
I did that, and then
a joke?
Oh Jesus,
and I was so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Wait, so Chappelle never went up?
No, he just they wanted were messing to fuck with me.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, he just wanted to see me fucking sweat.
Oh.
And then I started repeating a joke, and then Eric was like the first friend I made in stand up.
Really?
We were very good friends. Every night I would see him. He came with me to the show, and he was coming up after me, and I went to go introduce him, and I forgot his name.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, okay. Yeah. I was like, all right, what's happening? It's like, coming to the stage.
Uh-oh.
You're going to love him. One of my best, and it took like 10 seconds, and I finally found his name. But yeah, like it's gone poorly.
It would happen with me, with Edwin. Like, this guy is my mentor. I don't know his name. Like, I would forget. It happens. It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Somebody you know dearly.
Yeah, but you weren't even high. No. But it's, yeah.
Just blank out.
It's just fear.
Okay, no. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just the nerves or nerves, something happens. Fear.
It probably was. It's happened to you. Yeah. That makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And, if anything, it's happened to me a bunch. A lot. I'm the king of fucking up intros.
Yeah, but you're getting good at, like, you must be getting good at hosting. Like, I'm not good at. There's a
group. I love hosting now.
Oh, really?
I learned to love it. Yeah. It's biting the bullet. And it's because now you go anywhere and then if they say, can you go out first? You're not fucking shitting your pants. You're like, yeah.
Right.
Go out first all the time.
It's weird. I don't mind going up first. But like hosting is like very hit or miss for me. Like hosting, like I've done really well. But then like sometimes I'm not like super high energy. I don't really do crowd work. So, like, it's been hard for me to, like, get to be good at hosting.
You go out there and you do your set, like, straight up, get into your act.
I have before. Yeah. I've started to not do that, but it's a completely different muscle. Like, not that it's not stand-up, because obviously it's stand-up, but it's, like, a completely different language almost. Because if you go right into your act, it usually doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask you, what's your way of connecting? Like,
I do, like, something I did this last week, which I was featuring, but, like, I wrote a quick joke on Nashville, and, like, that works on him. I'm going to write something tonight for Vegas and try to, like, do that, too, but it's, like, do something like that. Like, it's so much easier for me as a feature. Like, mm-hmm. I'll tease the host a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
But, like, hosting, like, it's either a little bit of crowd work, or like just something like right off the top, but I honestly don't really know. Like I haven't really figured it out yet. I would love your advice because I don't have it.
You try to connect with somebody. You know, right. Some people look for the people smiling and everything reactive. You know,
hopefully they smile.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they will. There people are in Vegas. That you know.
Oh, in Vegas. Yeah. I'm hoping in Vegas.
And the crowd you're gonna get out here, you're gonna get a lot of people like. Yeah, you always hear the people losing money or whatever, but it's not the whole crowd. It's everybody's going to be usually rowdy.
Yeah, and some people don't, you know, they don't either. They don't gamble, or like if it's like tonight's Monday, so I would imagine it for a lot of people, it's like the beginning of their trip.
Oh, right? Yeah, yeah, and it's weird. I was telling you earlier, any night could be the sellout night. It could be a Monday night, the beginning of your week, and then Saturday could be a light night. Vegas is so weird because you got a bunch of conventions in town, and then they leave and some other
right,
come in.
Right.
So, like, people start their vacation on a Tuesday and leave on a Thursday, you know?
Right, okay.
It's weird like that.
Yeah, so. It could feel like a Friday night on a Monday night sometimes.
Really? Okay, I'm excited.
And she's a bartender at LA Comedy Club at the Strat, and she'll walk out with, what, weekend money on a Monday sometimes, and then vice
versa. Are we really my money out here? Whoa. Oh, okay. I didn't sign that disclosure.
Hey. Freddie's half Jewish. He's like,
you got to talk about the money.
I mean, I'll talk about how you make the money.
But that's cool. I mean, I like Vegas. It's probably good for me because if I had moved here, I actually wouldn't have started the church. Did you know I interviewed out here right before the church started?
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I interviewed at the UFC.
Really?
I had just met Joey, but I was like still doing my post-production stuff.
Yeah.
And I just applied online for the same job that I was doing in LA
You were editor in LA?
Assistant editor. At the UFC. And I have no basis for this, but I obviously didn't get the job. I think it was because I dressed up. Like, I wore, like, almost like a suit. I didn't wear, like, the jacket or a tie, but I wore, like, the nice pants and the button-down shirt. But, like, in post-production, like, people wear, like, jeans and a t-shirt. And, like, even the people interviewing me were kind of dressed like that. And, but, like, I was, like...
But they say, you know, always dress up. Because then there's people that talk shit. Oh, this guy, he wore a polo shirt?
Well, they say that, but, like, because it happened. Even at, like, my other jobs in L.A., people would come in a suit and we'd giggle after. It's not that – I learned that that wasn't really what I was supposed to do. But it also could have been, like, I was very new. I was only, like, a year out of college or something.
Yeah.
When I had that – not even when I had that interview, like, 6 months out of college. But, like, Vegas to me is, like – I could definitely see myself. Like, there's some places I go that, like, suck. But, like, Vegas has great weather, no state tax. There's always something to do.
No state tax.
Like, great food.
So many benefits.
And gamble. Like, I love gambling. Mm-hmm. But it's
people
also...
People like their gun rights out here.
They do. Well, I guess I don't really feel either way about that. Like, I feel like, and stuff like I would that. Shoot myself, I feel like, by accident. Not on purpose.
Whoa. Disclaimer.
But
by accident,
like I would, like, I'd
put it in a holster. Oh shit!
Yeah, I'd put it in my pants, or it'd fall down.
They're gonna take clips of this, Lee, and they're gonna say you're self deprecating with your comedy, yeah. And then they're gonna shoot clip themselves. In the
shooting. Hey, if they want to put me in a psychiatric hold for a few days, I could use a vacation. But like I do, when I was taking the Uber here from the hotel, like. It does seem like if like you fall on bad times in Vegas, you really fall on like it's rough.
You're gonna live like a mole under the city and like the tunnels.
Oh yeah, have you seen those people?
Yeah,
that's real.
Yeah, oh for sure,
that's real.
Every other block there's tunnels that you know for the drainage for the water and stuff.
Right.
So yeah, and the city constantly comes in and they put up bars and they get shit to cut them out and. And they break back in, and they're like, I'm breaking back into my house.
Fuck.
You know? Yeah, they're all set up. Have you seen? They got, like, documentaries on
YouTube. I saw that documentary, but I was like, like, oh, my God.
They got, like, their living room set up.
How hot does it have to be down there? It must be fucking 1,000 degrees.
Damn, underneath.
Thought of that.
Yeah, I wonder if
maybe not now, but because it's nice now. Like, it's very mild right now, but, like, during the summer, you would think it's, like, 1,000 degrees down there.
I know, huh? I wonder if it is hotter underneath.
Well, another benefit is the aliens out here in Vegas, if you like.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We've been getting aliens. Did you see?
Are you like migrants or who are you talking about?
No, actual aliens landing here.
You're both Hispanic.
I'm like, what's new with that?
What's funny? Well, it's funny because so there was a family that it was in the news, right, for a little bit. And they're actually Mexican, and they claim that a spaceship landed in their backyard.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And two aliens came out.
Yeah, and it was two brothers fixing their car outside, and two Mexican dudes. And here's the trippy part. Ring cameras around the neighborhood. Some of the stuff has been debunked, but they went off with a flash around the same time. Like, there's a big flash on people's Ring cameras, like their doors.
Do you think they were just, like, eating mushrooms or like got really high and like, yeah, maybe like some like lightning struck or something?
Here's the trippy part. The trippy part is that a police camera, like a body cam, got they saw a big ass like green fireball in the sky.
Explain that, Lee.
I can't.
and they were facing the direction of where this house was in North Vegas, and so when the Mexican family, they called the cops, terrified that there was like these creatures running around. And they were like tall creatures, like 10 feet tall and stuff. So they called and they're saying, oh, that they had big eyes, huh? They were describing them with big eyes. And then the cops, friends of the cop that saw the light bulb or the big fireball, they contact on each other on the radio and like, hey, what did you see in the sky? Because we're over here at this lady at this family's house. And they're saying that there was a big flash and a spaceship landed in their yard.
Really?
And two creatures came out. Yeah. It went on the news all over. Well,
can you tell them that I can't come to the shows anymore? I don't want to be around aliens.
Dude, you're all stoked about Vegas.
No wonder they booked me. They're like, listen, no one else is coming because there's aliens around here. Fuck.
No, people are coming because of the aliens.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to see aliens. If aliens are listening, please leave me alone.
As most of our listeners.
You're huge on Mars.
Yeah, dude. So that's the story that happened when we kind of started the podcast. We were kind of like heavy on the paranormal and UFO stuff. So one thing we're telling you how we started the show is like she comes over and she's always telling me all the stuff that's going on with pop culture and stuff. And I'm running to her and telling her what's going on with the UFO news this week, you know?
Oh, but I love both of them.
Dude.
Like, yeah, you like pop culture?
I immerse myself in it.
Are you big on like the like Love is Blind and stuff like that?
Yes, I love that show. Oh, I got him watching it too.
I've seen episodes. That one isn't the worst one. The
Circle?
What's the Circle?
I actually like the Circle.
Oh, is that another thing? my girlfriend likes all like the housewives shows.
I like the housewives.
I like the old ones, like because she puts them on, and I just don't like they. It seems like they just always fight, and like that gives me anxiety. So I don't like that. But like the older ladies, I liked because like they weren't fighting constantly about like nothing. But we
you
did
watch those.
I haven't been up to date, but I've watched like the OG ones.
Yeah, like those, and that like they have ones with like them now, like they're in like their 50s. So like they, but like so those that one wasn't the worst one because I know if she's watching, she's like, you watch it, you like it too. I don't. I haven't finished the new season, but Love on the Spectrum was pretty good. I watched that one.
Oh, is that good?
Yeah, that one was fun. It felt a little bit like we're making fun of them. Like I wasn't really sure. Mm. Like I felt a little bit bad, but like it like they sign up for their parents or not. Like it doesn't. I don't think it's supposed to be making fun of them, but I think some of it. Well,
Down with Love sounded like, I mean, down.
They don't have that, do they?
Yeah, that was one of them. Down with Love, I think.
They have with like Down syndrome.
Yeah. And okay. It's like the pun is like okay. Really so obvious, bro.
That's crazy. I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
But I and the alien stuff is cool too. Like I got lucky. I got to one night I got to feature for Michael Ian Black, the actor. Oh. He's been a comedian and like improv guy for years. But we talked for like an hour and a half about aliens and paranormal, yeah. And like he had like some people come to the show who were like really big into that stuff. It was awesome. I just don't really know about it. Like, and when I like start to learn, I'm like, oh, okay, like this, maybe this is real.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's been a lot of things popping up here and there.
I try to joke on this, and it never works, but it's just the truth. Like, I don't really watch documentaries anymore.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm a little bit too gullible. Like, I just, as soon as he told me about it, I was like, okay, well, I believe this now.
So anything you watch, you're like, I'm part of that cult.
Pretty much, yeah. Oh, I'm not even, that's not even a joke. I would be something I'd be worried about. Because I don't know what it is, but it's just something about me, like, wants to, I would love to believe.
Yeah.
As long as they're nice. I don't know, are they supposed to be nice or are they mean?
A lot of it is, for the most part, yeah, they're cool. This is the video that they put out almost a year ago now. I want to show it to Lee because it's been a while since we played it too.
Because apparently there's an update. I think
we got an update because the kid went away. He stopped talking about this like immediately. A week passed, Inside Edition hit him up. And
wow.
I guess people in like black suits start showing up. SUVs, all that, and they got intimidated, so they shut the f- up pretty much. Okay, so this is before the cops showed up. They went out there with the cameras, and people say
what are they talking about?
They're talking about like the creatures, but this is another thing too. They're like Mexican, but speaking, it's like a mix of Romanian and Mexican, like gypsy or something.
Does he have a gun?
Yeah, yeah. These are the two kids I saw. That's the dad right there. So the family ran inside, and while they're waiting for the cops, they hear a bunch of steps upstairs and all that. So people from the paranormal side, and they kind of think like it might be more than just the whole alien thing, more like a interdimensional type of thing.
What?
Yeah, dude.
What are you even talking about? Like, what do you mean interdimensional?
Interdimensional, like not the little green men you see, you know.
So what movies. Are they?
Possibly from another dimension, crossing over.
I came on here to have a very relaxing
evening. Oh, dude, this was the plan, man.
Anytime you come to Vegas.
Like the door just shut. You do have, like, I always think about you. You have the coolest blinds, by the way. And you have like mechanical, like doomsday blinds and all the doors. It's awesome. Like, and now it's just going to shut. I'm not going to get to leave now.
Yeah, dude. Well, we're ready for the apocalypse, man.
We're ready. You want to be safe? You come here to this house.
Okay.
I take it you never seen anything or had any kind of experience or anything like that.
I've had deja vu happen.
Oh.
I've definitely had deja vu. And I know that's not like an alien, but I've heard that. Isn't that like they think there's something with deja vu, like a past life or I don't know what it is.
Like it could be a time shift. Travel,
right. Have I had any alien experiences? I don't think so. Nothing like that.
Deja vu is pretty cool, though. I think that's a pretty...
It's something.
Not
something.
Everybody experiences that.
Yeah.
No, it's creepy when it happens.
Has it ever happened to you?
We've talked about this, and I think so, but it never like has stuck out to me. Like, oh, yeah.
But it's kind of like a dream. Like, you know how you don't remember dreams? Like, I know deja vu has happened, but I couldn't tell you what it was.
Can you explain how, like...
To me, it's like it's happened, not in like the moment, but it would be like today I think about something, or today like I'm like remembering something, and then like in like a 2 or 3 days it happens again, or like it's always been like that. It happens, and then like there's the first instance, and then very soon after that, like it really happens.
Yeah.
And it hasn't happened. It's not like an every day or like even an every year sort of thing. I think it's only happened 2 or 3 times in my life. But like I know, I was like, wasn't I just thinking about this? Or it was a very strange experience.
Yeah.
So you're saying you have superpowers?
I do. I am the flying Jew. I have to have some.
I don't know if this is deja vu or if it's like remembering dreams, but some kind of phenomenon where all of a sudden. Like, I'll be doing something, and you know how deja vu is usually, you predict already, like, you knew you were going to do this.
Yeah, it's like, something yeah, like, I think so, yeah, like, you've done this before. Yeah.
So, it's almost like that, but while I'm doing something, like, if I'm, say, working on my fence with a hammer or whatever, just doing some kind of task, repetitive, and then I'm like, okay, all of a sudden I start remembering, like, these flashes of dreams. Okay. Not deja vu of something I'm doing now, but like I get these flashes of a dream I had.
Yeah. That's like mine too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not the night before necessarily. It could be from, I don't know when, but I'm like, I remember that. Where are you coming from? Where are you at? And then boom, it's gone.
Oh, okay.
I think I know what that
is.
What
is that, man?
It reminds me when you're in the shower and like all these ideas and dreams.
I always think about Freddie in the shower too.
Yeah. Me too.
You too. Think about me. Only in the shower do I think of this memory or of this dream. Or I've heard that when you're moving your body and you're walking sometimes, or you're exercising, or you know, any kind of body moves, movement.
The mind grooves.
Tony Robbins, baby. You're moving. You're working.
Oh.
So maybe your mind is being open to certain ideas when before you're stressed, you're on the go, you're moving. And so I think you're allowing a part of your brain to be tapped in when you're doing an activity
or something.
Yeah, probably that something makes sense to me.
Yeah.
How did you guys get into like this alien stuff?
You know, I've always liked talking about all this stuff, like the supernatural, or even when I was religious back then. I guess I always got into it from Steven Spielberg. That's his fault. It's
probably from like E.T.?
Not E.T. I never saw E.T. Close Encounters, though.
Oh, okay.
Is
that the one where they played the music?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, dude. So that, and then, you know, time travel with Back to the Future, you know, just nerd
shit. That's badass. You know, I heard that they have like a cool movie prop museum here.
What?
In Vegas.
What?
I'm going to have to look it up. It's like called like the Movie Prop Experience.
Okay.
Or something. It seems like a cool thing to go see. Oh, and I think I drove by on the way here. Isn't there a place where you can go blow shit up? Or like big guns?
Yeah, dude. And you could do machine guns? Hell yeah, dude.
I just looked up the Movie Prop Experience. It's on Fremont.
Yeah, I thought it was. Okay.
Wow. See, that just popped up.
See, I'm telling you about your city. And we're movie nerds.
Yeah.
How do we not know? Man,
businesses pop up in Vegas all the time. They got VR out here, the one you do with Teams.
So here's my only question about that.
When
that first started popping off, like remember they had it at like the mall?
Yeah.
I heard people were getting eye herpes because you were sharing goggles.
And I didn't know there was eye herpes.
I don't think it starts in the eyes. But like, yeah.
That's a new thing.
Google that. Because they were sharing VR goggles.
Oh my God.
They were getting like fucked up diseases.
Yeah.
And
that's funny.
Oh yeah, look.
Oh my God.
Yeah, put on VR, like comma VR at the end of that. Like I want like.
I'm like VR?
Go to the news or something. Or like all.
Oh.
See if there's any articles about it.
That is insane.
Oh, you probably won't get eye hurt, but God damn it. but look down below. Yeah.
Oh, see? Yeah, right there. Vision VR Prime. Headset blamed for ocular herpes outbreak.
Ocular herpes. That's ocular. The name of the episode.
That's like my nightmare.
Ocular outbreak.
Like Freddie, imagine you were on the road, right? And you came back and you got eye herpes.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't tell Liz. You'd be like, it was from a VR. I got herpes from a VR headset.
Oh, and you could only get eye herpes if you're having cyber sex with someone else.
Well, yeah.
So you know you'll be if you get that
you'll know where to look.
My gosh. Mm-hmm.
But like, would you believe Freddie if he told you he got herpes
from
VR?
No.
Yeah, no,
from VR.
Liar! Show me the receipt. Show me the video. Where were you?
Why'd you get a divorce? VR.
That was actually. Did you ever see that? Did you ever see the Joey was on a show called the Guest Book?
No.
It was right before we left L.A. It was the same guy who did My Name is Earl, Greg Garcia. He had a show called The Guest Book, and it was interesting. It was on TBS, but like every week was a new episode with like almost an entirely new cast of like these people coming up to a city and like to like a guest house. And they would like there'd be some people who lived in the town, but most of the people would be like new to that whatever. And like there was this, the episode Joey was on was there was this couple who like the husband was obsessed with VR and the wife was like very frustrated and she couldn't get him off. Yeah. And so she caught him jerking off, not Joey. And so they decided to have sex like with, they both had VR goggles on.
Yeah.
And, the guy, his goggles started to mess up, but he didn't realize that he was watching gay porn. And so like while his wife was going down on him, Joey came in and as a gay porn actor and like started being the one who was sucking that guy's dick. So the guy like freaked out.
Yeah.
But like Joey actually gets on his knees and like pretends he's blowing a guy. It's fucking, it's a funny episode. That's a great.
Oh, nice. We're going to have to watch it.
Yeah, it's funny. I think it's on Hulu.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very funny.
Season 2, episode 1.
Dude, I remember seeing Joey on with Mark Maron on his show.
Oh, yeah. Wait,
did like two episodes.
With the spaghetti or something.
Yeah. He had just got out of prison.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Dude, so now that you guys are doing the podcast out there, you've been going with Joey to New York a few times, huh?
We did. We weren't doing the podcast at this point, but like last year and like the, I guess it was the year before, like the end of 22 into 23, once a month he had a residency at a theater in New York.
Mm.
And I got lucky. I got to do all of them. And I, it was kind of hosting. Stu Feiner would go up from Barstool. He would go up and open the show.
Yeah.
And then I would go up first. But it was so cool. And then, yeah, I've gotten, I go down to Jersey. I feel like I was just there, recently. I did the dojo.
Oh, okay.
Like Sam Tripoli's room.
Yeah.
So I saw Joey. God, he always gets me fucked up. he always calls me and he's like, hey man, I'm only doing edibles one day a week now. And then like the next day he's like, I took 400 today. But yeah,
That's scary.
He got me. Oh, I could never do like the 2000 anymore. Like
anymore. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
The fact that you even did it once, kudos to you.
Oh no, I did it. We did 2000 like twice a week for like 6 or 7 years, I think. Something like that. It took a while to build. Maybe not 6 or 7 because we had to build up to it. But for a few years there, it was like a minimum of 1,500 to 2,000.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
In one day?
Oh, yeah.
In
one sitting. Oh, yeah. We would just eat piles of those stars.
Yeah.
And like the most I ever did was 3,000. It was with Luis J. Gomez. it was that episode that I did 3,000 on. But it's funny because like that, I've been higher on less milligram. Like I felt like 3,000 was like the cutoff point where my body was like, this is too much. Like,
we're gonna limit.
What's the most you ever done?
The one that Joey gave me. I don't know how much that
was. Was it red? Four? Was it red or purple or green?
It was not green for sure. It was either red or purple.
Red. Reds were 125s and purples were 200.
I feel like it was 500, he told me. Or
he could have.
He's like, every like tail end was like, I don't know. But anyways, I blacked out.
He said to start with the corner.
Yeah.
So you start with the corner, and then I...
And I couldn't say no.
And then next thing you know, she ate the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can understand you. How can I say no to Joey?
That's when you guys went out there and wiggled.
Oh, yeah. That was a great time.
Did the wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
That was way before I started stand-up.
Oh, it was.
Yeah,
it was. Years
before. Oh, yeah.
By the time I started stand up, I was banned from the South Point.
Dude, the first time you and me podcasted. Oh yeah.
I know. I'm like, wait, if you got banned, we can't just stand close over there.
For life.
For life.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, maybe at some point I could appeal it or something.
So you can't go to the dirty.
No.
The dirty at 12:30.
I'm banned. It was 6 months before the weed became legal in Vegas.
Oh, I remember. Yes, now.
They made a big deal about that, man.
Yeah.
So they caught you with weed.
Yeah. Well, they didn't catch me with it because it was the stars were there. It was Joey's birthday.
Yeah.
We were at the South Point, and the guys who made the stars were there, and they were like pouring it into people's hands, and I just had it. And he used to be a Vegas comic, Alex Kahn. Do you know him? He opens for.
Alex Kahn.
A Chelsea Handler dude now. But he... It's funny because I ran into him years later. He was at the show with Joey.
Mm-hmm.
The guy had poured edibles into my hand. And I didn't want to like eat all of them. And I went to give him one. And I looked up. And there was like a security guard with like a bulletproof vest on.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could say is, it's just a gummy bear. And I ran away. And I ate the rest of them. So when he finally caught up to me... Like, he was like, hey, we have you. We know where are the rest of the drugs? And there were none.
Oh.
Because I ate all of them. And, yeah, they were going to bring me to jail. They were going to...
Oh, and my God.
Nothing ended up happening. I just can't go back to the South Point. But
yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Man.
Yeah.
Such a big deal.
But Alex Kahn was the guy who I tried to give the star to. Oh. He's a comic who used to be in Vegas, and now he's in L.A.
Oh, okay.
I can't believe I forget the guy he's opening for.
I wonder if that would have played out differently now that that weed is
now
legal.
It wouldn't be anything, I don't think.
Right? Because what would they say? Oh, you have too much? No.
But I don't think you're allowed to smoke in the casinos, though.
Nah, not green, not like a flower.
No, but it was edible, right? That you
right.
Vape.
Had. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's crazy how you can't. Why? Because they have kids? Is that why you can't smoke in the casino?
I guess it's very skunky, I guess, the smell, right?
Well, it's not like cigarettes smell great.
I know.
Well, exactly. they are expanding their mind or horizons, because now they have lounges that you
really?
Can go right. and you can smoke. We they even have a lounge where they do comedy and you
yeah,
can
New
smoke.
Yeah, New Boo or something, right?
Yeah, Gabe yeah. Lopez runs that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, the lounges is a cool thing.
But like they do drinks, weed drinks.
Weed drinks, too.
I just did a show in Minneapolis at a bar that did weed drinks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That was, so it's over there, too.
Yeah, but they had, like, it wasn't out, there was no alcohol. It's just straight weed drinks.
Yeah
same
too.
Thing.
Yep.
And they were good. It was fun.
But nice. What a time to be alive.
Oh, I know.
Because, I mean, years before, this was a dream to have lounges and weed legal in certain places.
And Vegas seems like a good place for it.
You ever bought weed from you bought weed from a drug dealer before?
No.
No?
Never once in my entire... No. I was always paranoid.
Oh, really?
I was always convinced that I would go immediately to an undercover cop. I smoked a couple times in high school. I was never mine.
Yeah.
And then I took edibles once. It was a homemade brownie. And we went to the beach in Maine for the day. And... Like, everyone listening, I have, like, a little coaster in my hand, and I'm putting it on the table. So the circle of the coaster is, like, the shadow that the umbrella had. I sat right here. Like, I was just so high, but I was not under the umbrella, but I got so sun... I couldn't get up. I was so sunburned, I turned purple.
Oh,
damn. So that was my only real experience with any sort of weed, anything like that, and then... Then Joey came into my life, and I got fucked up.
This is history.
I went straight to fucking exit. It's like,
yeah, no idea what he was getting into.
You were talking about like video games earlier. It's like buying a game and starting it on expert mode.
Oh yeah,
and just going.
How did you and Joey Diaz meet? I forget.
Facebook. Yeah, I was working in LA, and I was just working in editing. And I found the podcast, and I've always loved stand-up comedians. And I just said, like, I want to work with a comedian, but I don't want to come off as creepy. And luckily, Joey took a chance and asked me what some of my ideas were, and we met, and it just sort of happened.
Wow.
Yeah. The Beauty and the Beast, right?
No, he was already doing the Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, okay.
He did hook me up with Felicia. I did some videos for her. The first thing that we did was Matt Flavor's World. Those like little vlogs he would do on YouTube. They're still on his YouTube if you're watching. They're great. I think they're very funny. He just had this little. It was way before he had a flip, not a flip phone, a smartphone. And Gabriel Iglesias gave him a little, like a video camera, like half like the width of a phone, but like a little bit thicker.
Flip cam.
It was called a Sony Bloggy.
I remember those.
And
I had one.
Maybe. Yeah. And we would meet once a week. He would give me $100 and I would take the clips off of the camera and then just edit them together, put them up on his YouTube.
Yeah.
And then from there we did a documentary and then we did a CD. Might have been CD documentary. And then we just decided to, I was still doing my post-production stuff when the church started.
Oh, okay.
So it was fun though. It just sort of happened.
Yeah,
because the first time Lee and I podcasted, I was in LA and I hit you up, and we had met before.
Okay.
Yeah, we had met before, but you weren't doing comedy just yet, though.
No, I didn't start comedy until I think end of 2018.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I honestly don't know because that's I guess not entirely true because whenever
you were pretty adamant about not doing it.
I was always a fan. I never thought I was that kind of funny. And then when Joey did his CISO special in Chicago, like that, like 6 months leading up to it, you know Agostino, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was there the Wiggle night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Agostino Zoida. Shout out.
He does the LA Comedy Club a bunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I
love Agostino.
He's great. But he was running an open mic at a place called, I always forget, it was either the Dark Horse or the Black Horse. And Joey would go down on Tuesdays, and I would go with him, and like he would, I would like on the way there, I would like come up with like my idea of what a joke might be, and I think I did it like 6 times.
Yeah,
and then I didn't do it for like another year, and then so I think that might have been like 2017, and then end of 2018 is when I went and started doing like mics on a consistent basis. But then I took about a year and a half off during COVID. I just thought I was done.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what it was like here during the pandemic, but it wasn't great on the East Coast.
Yeah, I do remember seeing a podcast you did about it.
Yeah, I just, you know, I moved back to the East Coast, and a lot of stuff was closed. There wasn't really much anything open. There was one open mic I found in Providence on Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
And no disrespect to the woman who runs it. She kept it open during the pandemic and was like one of the few people who kept it open. But I like offered to host one night, and it was like 4 hours, and it was like 30 people. Everyone did 3 minutes, and like I don't think one person got a laugh.
Oh,
and like I was still fat, like really fat, and my legs hurt because I was just up and down for 4 hours, and I drove an hour to get there and drove an hour back, and I had just started dating my now girlfriend, and I was like, why am I going to like this? I'm never going to be a stand-up comedian. Like, I did some really cool shows. I had some fun. But this is never going to be my life. And, like, I would say maybe a year in, almost a year in, my mom called me one day. I was like, she's like, I think you're depressed because you're not doing stand-up.
Mm.
And I was like, okay. And, like, by that point, the pandemic was, I guess, I don't, is it even over now? I don't even know if it is over now.
Mm.
But it was pretty much over. And I started doing open mics, and I've been pretty much full steam ahead ever since.
Nice.
And yeah, but yeah. It's been...
I mean, and now you're working with Josh.
Yeah, now Josh has been great to me.
How'd you guys link up? I know you've known each other for a while, but how did that come about? Like,
I'm trying to think. I think what happened is he was doing a club in Boston, Laugh Boston, and he invited me to come down... I think it was like Friday and Saturday of like the weekend. So I did that. And then he invited me the next weekend. He was in Connecticut. So I went and did like a little bit of time on that. Not even, I wouldn't even say hosting. It was 5 minutes. Cause as you know, casino shows, like they're usually pretty strict about times. And then I did a couple shows and I did okay. I didn't do great. But then I think what the difference for me was I went to New York a few times. And like I just like I would every time I would do it, like I would just do double or triple the amount of shows.
Mm-hmm.
And like I took like a little bit of a step forward, and I didn't do a show with, it's not that he like didn't want me on the show, he just didn't have me booked or anything. And then I hit him up to go to Columbus because I've always heard about the Columbus Funny Bone.
Yeah.
And I asked him to go, and when I went, I had a really great weekend. And then ever since then, it's been like I said, once or twice a month. He just has been nice to me and has been bringing me. So it's been awesome.
Yeah, that's the best. When you're attached to a headliner that could also be a mentor.
Yeah, he called me. You know? He doesn't. We don't usually talk on the phone, but I had asked him to watch a new joke that this weekend I had a joke that I just thought of, and I did it twice this last weekend. And he didn't see it the first night. I wish he had. It went better the first night. The second night, I was having a great set. And I tried this new joke. Mm. And it kind of... I didn't bomb. But like I had been doing so well. And I did it too late into the set. That it kind of threw a wrench into the end of my set.
Yeah.
But he called me. He's like, hey, I want... Like, don't ever be worried about trying a new joke. You got to do them. Like, and he's very supportive. Which is very cool.
Okay.
That's like, nice. And I've, knock on wood, never been fired from like a stand-up gig. I'm sure eventually it'll happen. Like, I'm surprised I didn't get fired in Connecticut. Like that, I wouldn't have
even... How many shows were those?
Connecticut, two. Yeah, one, two. One show each night.
Because you were professional and you kept pushing and kept it through.
What happened? Both shows were bad? I mean...
It was... Yeah. It wasn't... Yeah. The other comics did fine.
Yeah.
To varying degrees. But it was... It was like the first night I hosted and it was like... I would say maybe like a D, like a C minus D. Mm. Like it wasn't very good. And then like I knew the next night I was going to get the feature. I was like, okay, this is where I'll do fine. This will be it. It'll be it. And it was a bigger crowd too. And I get up there and I'm doing stuff that like, again, like I'm not really much of like a, whatever it's called. I don't really like talk shit or like hype myself up. But like maybe once every 4 to 8 weeks, some of these jokes will occasionally get like an applause break,
yeah.
Or like it'll do really well. I was hitting with like my A stuff, and it was just like silence. And I was like, "What is like?" I was sweating. It was probably the worst two shows I've had in a fucking long time.
Wow.
Yeah, and like I'm not. People might listen like, "Oh, he's like obsessed." I don't like when I don't do well. Like I do get bummed about it. But it's just like I'm not. It's not like I don't know. I don't like constantly think about it. But it was just I had been doing so well,
mm-hmm.
And then to like hit a road bump like that, I was like, "What the
it
fuck?"
It threw
is
you
happening?
Off.
Yeah.
It really sucks. And it's like you can't shake it off until you do another show.
Oh, I know. I wanted to leave and find another show. I did that. Did you ever meet Johnny Rock? Johnny Rock.
Yeah,
he's great. He gave me some really good advice. Cause I did you ever meet, the Smash Brothers, Corey and Chad?
Smash Brothers. Yep.
What did I say?
Smash Brothers.
Oh, I said, right. I thought
you said it right.
Yeah. Okay. I would have felt bad cause they're so cool, but they at least used to have a show called the Dirty Show or,
the Nasty Show.
Nasty Show. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, they're hilarious.
And man. I did it twice. And the first time I did it, Johnny was there and out. Actually, so is Nick, who I'm opening for this week.
Nick Guerra.
And I didn't do terrible, but I didn't do well.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it, and like, I was like, going to go do another mic. And Johnny gave me advice I still think about, is like, especially for open mics, is like, don't worry about the response that you get. Like, just go there and like with something intentional like to work on, say it the way you want to say it. And then like, you can't always worry about like, because at that point when I was doing comedy, 6 months, a year and a half in, something like that. Like, if I bombed at a mic, I would get depressed.
Mm-hmm.
But now, but like he kind of gave me a little bit of shit in a loving way because I didn't do well. But then, like, I came back and did the show a couple years later, did really great. But like that advice for open mics has always stuck with me. It's like, don't worry about the response. Just try to make sure you're saying the joke, and then like it'll work itself out.
Yeah, that is true. Because it's really about just you're just rehearsing it pretty mm-hmm. much at that point.
And I like what Joey said that stuck with me from your episode. It's true, the numbers are not in your guys' favor. Like when you guys, the analogy that he used, like gambling, it's like when you if you go gambling every day, you're not going to win every day.
Yeah.
So it just comes with the territory, in other words.
I want to win every day.
It
sucks when you lose. Oh, and but that was because I was really big into gambling. Like it's going to be really interesting for me to see how much I gamble this week. I'm going to try not to.
Do you have a limit?
The one thing I will say is I've usually been pretty good. I had a rule that I wouldn't go to the ATMs at the casino. I made up this rule in my head that I wouldn't go to the ATMs at the casino. Because, like, that's when it starts to get a little bit iffy, I think.
Okay.
So I've definitely lost more than I should have or would want to. But, like, I would always just go to the ATM and, like, be like, this is what I'm going with. If I lose it, then I'm done.
So we're leaving our credit card in the room.
You know what? I haven't had to do that, luckily.
Because how are you going to avoid the temptation while you're in there you and you're what? Not going to go to the ATM?
I'm not good at avoiding any temptation with, like, food. Or, like, I'm really not. But, like, for some reason, I've been very – like, I think in the 14 years I've been gambling, I've maybe gone to an ATM at the casino, like, twice.
Okay, so what you're telling me, Lizzie, I got this.
Yeah, that, I do, but I am going to have Freddie take me to an ATM on the way to the show tonight.
Okay.
But, I know, because you guys don't gamble at all, right?
We don't. I think because, I don't know, we grew up around it, in Nevada, and we grew up religious as well, so that was a really no-no for us.
Gambling you can't do when you're religious?
No, it's part of the...
That's God's money. It's
God's money.
Oh.
First, you have to give 10% to the church.
Yeah, no Jews do that.
Jews don't do that?
I don't... How
does the synagogue stay afloat?
Well, you have to. I know that there's definitely fees to like be a member. Like there's membership dues. That's
worse. It's called fees?
Yeah.
I don't know if they call it fees.
You
want to
be part of our church? You've got to pay this fee, bro.
Yeah. I've never been my mom had our family, but I think it was just like a membership due. But it wasn't that
sounds hella Jewish.
It wasn't.
It's like there's a monthly membership.
You have a monthly tithe. Like you have to tithe.
That's true.
And like that would piss me off.
Yeah.
I'll be like, don't tell them that I got a raise. Like
I know, right?
Like, yeah.
That's like, and do they make you do it? Like, what if you don't do it?
It's not forced, but I remember one time my pastor, and he's like, "Hey, is everything okay at home?" I'm like, "Yeah, everything's cool." I'm like, "Why? What's going on?" I'm like, "No, I just noticed that you know the tithe hasn't really." You know, I just want to see if you're struggling or anything. I'm like, and I was like, wait a minute. You're trying to find out why am I not tithing?
Yeah. Wow. What are you fucking broke, bro? Like, that's bullshit.
They would keep tabs at church, right?
Yeah, because my dad was a pastor in a church. And so I know the ins and outs with, you know,
money. Who was a tither? Who wasn't?
Yeah, we would keep track because people would leave checks to in as form of tithing pick up money during the congregation as well. So maybe tax purposes, I don't know, but we would know.
Oh, it's for sure gotta do the taxes. Yeah, it's a write-off.
We would know of what families how much they would give and.
Oh, you can write off how much you tithe.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
At least, oh yeah, donations.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, that's better. At least okay. No,
there's a reason.
Yeah.
At least you get something back.
Yeah, that's why. They pay that fee.
but even after you tithe, like let's say you tithed everything you wanted to, you couldn't be like, hey, I'm going to gamble and then I'm going to give half of the winnings to Jesus. Like you can't.
You just don't talk about the gambling. No. You don't want to be posting it. Hey, I just want a Keno. What if you post the picture, you won 20 grand and now the pastor's cool with it. Just tithe.
Yeah, give them like even in more than 10%. I'll give them. No. You guys are 15. Making
your own
like,
religion here.
Shout out to my pastor who's going to get 10% of this.
Yeah, if anyone wants to tithe to me, I'll start a religion. I don't care.
Yeah, man.
That's.
Oh, I remember I went to. Remember one time I did a show at an atheist church?
Oh, yes.
I mean, atheists are doing it now.
Wow.
There's atheist churches now.
But you know what? Like, and I don't know how you feel about religion now. Like, I do the Jewish holidays with my mom.
Well, we're planning on doing the Lord's Prayer at the end of the podcast.
Okay. Well, I have that memorized.
Oh.
But, like, I've never been, like, I wouldn't say I'm, what's it called? Atheist. I'm really nothing. I don't feel one way or the other.
Mm.
But, like, whenever I see someone who... As long as they have a pure heart, like the Westboro Baptist Church, fuck them. But mm-hmm. like if people like are really religious and like they're like good people and they try to help people,
yeah.
Or like they're not like you know they're not like fuck gay people or whatever. Like they're just like genuinely good people and they yeah. believe. I'm like jealous.
Yeah.
Like I almost wish that I like believed that strongly in really anything. Like it would be very nice to be like oh well the. When this is over, I'm going to see Jesus. And I'm going to go to heaven, and like the, all of this is real. I'm very jealous of like that. Like I don't know that outlook.
Having that outlook, that worldview.
Yeah, just like that. They fully believe it. They know. Like it's not even that they believe it. They're like they know it. They're like, yeah, Jesus loves us. Everything's cool, and it doesn't have to be.
I wish I had
Christianity,
that
but like, yeah, it's like it would be nice to have that. Like everything's gonna yeah. be cool. If I'm a good person, I'm gonna go to heaven.
Yeah.
Like this is what we're supposed to do. I wish that is how I felt.
I sometimes get nostalgia and I feel like I wish I was the way I was before, but knowing what I know now, it logically it prevents me from doing it. I guess, but I see what you mean because I wish I had that too. I do yeah. miss it. I miss having that like oh, there's that hope afterwards, or you know.
Yeah, but it's not, it's hope, but it's also, like, they're just so, like, they're very confident in it. Like, and I'm sure, like, everyone goes through, like, a crisis of faith. Like, I've heard of that before. Mm-hmm. But, like, it seems like if you really believe it, like, it's not even like a question. It's like, this is how it, like, we, Jesus loves us, like all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I'm very jealous of it.
What do you think you want from that? Like, is it the assurance of peace? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, that would be great.
I miss the peace.
Just believing in anything. Like, just, like, even, like, the peace would be very nice, but even, like, good, like, if you're a good person, good things will happen. Like, heaven sounds like a great time. Like, all of it sounds appealing. If it was true, like, because it is a struggle, I would imagine, to be, like, very religious in a certain way. I'm sure people get used to it and it doesn't feel like a struggle anymore. But, like, even, like, I was, like, the very most, like, I was so not, like the type of Jewish I was looked down upon by, like, the real Jews. Because, like, yeah. In Orthodox Judaism, they'll have, like, one side for men, one side for women and children. They'll have stuff like the women cover their hair. Like, there's a lot of certain things. And, like, my Judaism was, like, women were allowed to be up at, like, be rabbis. And, like, they would have, like, guitars playing in the services. Whoa,
they're, like, the non-denominational Jews.
Pretty much, yeah. It was called...
the rebel Jews.
It's called Reform, and it was, like, not... I don't know. The rabbi when I was younger was very cool. There was a rabbi when I was a kid that I liked a lot. But then, like, after that, like, they were like, they would start to rap at the service. And I was like, shouldn't we just stick with, like, I don't know, like, the original stuff?
My first weed deal was with a Christian rapper. A Christian rapper sold me weed.
That's very nice of him.
Yeah.
Frank. Do you think he tithed his weed money to the church?
I hope he did.
At least 10%.
Did you get some credit for that? Like, this is from Freddie.
You know, I think he also ripped me off.
What?
I didn't know anything about buying weed back then.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. But I didn't know Jews had rap. Like,
we like Modest Yahoo. Modest Yahoo. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's like a...
I heard of him.
Yeah, he's like one song that's like was pretty popular back when we were high school.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't remember, but yeah, it was not... I don't like it. There's not a lot of them. Actually, you know what?
I recently found out...
There is a black Jewish rapper.
I was just... Ooh, bro.
I
literally just pulled him up.
Yes.
Is this him?
Yes, I saw him on Vice. Yeah, that dude is a badass. Yeah. But he might be... is he black Israelite? I don't know.
No. He
he's straight Jewish?
Yeah, he converted.
Look at that fucking leopard scarf he has. Mm-hmm.
He's pretty good too, this guy.
Yeah.
He's pretty good. And he's he's completely like
he's just regular Jewish.
All about it, yeah. Yeah. And he dresses like that every day. He's got 5 million views.
Does he really? Good for him.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah, Lee. You like that?
I'm gonna come out to this week.
There you
Heck
go.
Yeah,
bounce to that shit, bro. Do they
have a do they let you pick a song to come out to at the?
Yeah.
Do you have a song?
I
got one. I finally have one that I like.
What do you like?
It's a Gap Band song. Let me see if I could find it. But like I had just you dropped a bomb on me.
You dropped a bomb on me?
The Gap Band. Yeah, I just this weekend I came out to it.
There we go. All right. Like the formation.
He's
right
wearing
there.
The same color jeans I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Army pants.
There you go. This is a good song. You come out to this now?
Oh, that's a good song.
I like a beam.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why I like it.
This is good. I like
this. It's a good beat.
And you know what? You know where I found it? Because I just went, I don't know if you heard, I don't know if it was on that episode list here or not, but I just went to Paisley Park where Prince like recorded all of his music.
Oh yeah,
it was one of the coolest places I've ever been. It was it was badass. Cause like I don't know anything about. And I even on the podcast with Joey, I said the wrong name of the song. I said it when doves cry, and I said when doves fly, it's when doves cry.
Yeah.
So like, I know almost zero about Prince, but like I was in Minneapolis, so I just went, and it was just very interesting. Like the amount of work he put into it, how seriously, like how much of an artist he was. And like I've been listening to Prince nonstop, and then some because I'm too cheap to pay for Amazon Music, it went from Prince to the Gap Band, and I heard that song. I was like, that's a badass song to come out to.
Yeah.
But you don't have anything that you do every week.
I do have the one with Lil Pump. just trying to think how it goes.
I feel so old now. I don't know who Little Pump is.
I know. I had to Shazam it with the first time I heard it. Let's see. Lil Pump and French Montana. It gets me going.
Yeah, whatever gets you going.
It gets my juices pumped. Flowing. That right here. Oh, shit. Yep. There we go.
Okay. Yeah, you're just much cooler than I am, Freddie. I can't come out of this.
It's pretty Middle Eastern-ish. Sounds like something DJ Khaled would make or something.
Yeah, he kind of does look like a skinny DJ Khaled.
Yeah, he does, right? It's French Montana.
Oh, is Montana? I've never heard of him.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's one of the songs I come out to, I guess. I don't really choose, but when they give me one, I say, yeah, throw that one.
Yeah, I don't really care. Are you going to come out to this tonight, do you think?
I will. Fuck, I'm going to text Victor and tell him to put that on.
Add that to the list.
I'll text him yours, too, so we could get him ready.
Oh, no. Well,
our sound guy.
Okay. Fuck yeah. Yeah.
Kick off the week, man. We're going to kick off your week.
I'm so excited. Man. And you basically, like, I think you probably put a whisper in Matt's ear, like, please, like,
heavily. Oh, of course, yeah, been vouching for you.
So thank you very much.
Agustino as well, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations overall on your success in your comedy. Thank you. This is just the beginning.
I'm going to take that and make it a loop. Just listen to people say nice things. You're so nice. When are you going to do stand-up, Lissy? After all these years, after wiggling on stage,
yeah,
you got to do something. Never. You got to do 2 minutes.
You're ready to open for Joey?
Okay.
Yeah, do one.
Calm dance. Down.
Do one Kill Tony.
No.
They got like a subculture of Kill Tony now where they're making these podcasts in the alley while they're waiting. And they're documenting.
Really?
There's like a mini documentaries on comics.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Like, there's a bunch of people who've blown up. Like Casey Rocket, I think, is very funny. Cam is very funny. Of course,
Cam is pretty good.
Yeah, he was there in L.A. and I'm so sorry, I'm forgetting his name.
Oh, the Red Machine.
Yeah, William
Montgomery. Love that guy.
And of course, you know, Kim and Sarah started on there.
Yeah,
they have so many. That other the kid, I don't know how old he is. I feel like he might be older than me. Like, well, there's that like kid who looks like he's like a kid. Do you know he like his glasses on? He's very short. He like got laid for the first time off of Kill Tony.
Oh,
he's very funny.
No, I'm thinking of Skink. I mean, Legion of Skinks.
Oh, you're thinking of Blind Mike?
Yeah, no, but your guy.
They have a bunch of comics.
Yeah, dude.
That they have found that have just been amazing. Although the
Preacher Larson.
Blew yeah. Up. Oh yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
There was one. And he put it up on his own website, so I guess he's fine with people talking about it. I think I'm almost positive it was Kill Tony 500. There was this guy that I did open mics with, very nice person. Maybe not the most seasoned. I mean, we were all in open mics. So none of us were that great. Uh-huh. But he went up, like, I think he was like one of the last comics for 500.
Yeah.
On the way to the stage, he like knocked over a table of drinks, and like I think he was trying to be funny, but like didn't like apologize. He was like, "Yeah, what are you gonna do?" And like. He bombed so hard, and like Rogan was on stage, and like the audience, like Rogan said, like, I've never seen an audience turn on someone so quickly.
Yeah,
and like, as many people as they've blown up and like made like famous, there's also like you see some bad ones too.
Yeah,
which is, have you been on? Do you want to go?
I did, not anymore. I used to.
Okay,
but now it's like I think if I eat shit, it's going to be bad for me. I'm be like, I'm just going to kill myself.
No, I'm sure you'll do great. Lissy, help your husband out.
Yes.
You are great.
No, but I don't. I've signed up every time and I never get picked. So
okay.
It's for a good reason.
Hopefully. No. you'll go when it's your time.
Yeah, well, you submitted for Skankfest, so maybe you could bring it back.
Yeah, and do you have your like travel dates on your website?
You know what? I don't. Okay. I need to start doing that. I'm gonna work on that when I'm here. When is this gonna come out?
This is gonna come out Friday.
Okay, yeah. April 13th in New York. I'm opening for Josh Wolf at the Gramercy Theater, and then in May we are in Philly at the Punchline, and we are gonna be at somewhere in Austin. I think it's Helium in Austin.
Nice.
Or maybe it's Cap City. It's one of the two, and I think that might be the same club.
Nice.
I think Helium and Cap City are combined now. But no, I have a bunch of shows around Boston. I have one I haven't announced yet in September in Boston. In November, I'm going to Side Splitters in Tampa. I'm opening up for Ian Fidance, I just found out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I don't think he even knows that.
Surprise.
Yeah. I have a lot. The check-in with Joey. Yeah, I don't think he knows at all. I've never met him. Yeah.
The check-in. I'm so glad you guys, again.
Oh, it's so much
happy
fun.
You guys are. How'd you guys end up doing it again together?
He reached out. We were just chatting one day. He's like, maybe we should just do something. And I went down for a weekend and we got high and chatted about what it might be. And
was he done with the joint already?
I think so. Yeah, I think he'd been done with it for a couple of months.
Okay.
It was very, very last moment. It's kind of evolved. At the beginning, we talked about sports and people don't really. We like talking about football, but we always like. We never get a pick right. So, like, we talked about sports with the first few of them. And then we were talking about me and comedy a lot. And then recently we've just been getting high and giggling. So nice. It's been sort of a good mixture.
Beautiful.
But it's all. And then I'm just so happy to be with you guys. Thank you guys for this.
Thank you.
You got me a sandwich. You took your shirt off.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I'll take my shirt off again for you.
Yeah. Please do. Freddie's a sexy man. And
you're Lissy, a sexy
it's
man.
It's always good to see you, Lissy. You're very
always
nice.
It's a pleasure.
You're a very calming presence.
Yeah, man. Thank you, bro. So, Lee Sia on everything.
Yes, sir.
All social media.
Yes. Thank you so much for being here. It's been just awesome of your time being here. Just always great to catch up. It's been years since we have seen you, and just amazing to see your growth. It's just always great to see people and our friends just chase a craft, you know. It's hard in these times, and it's always hard to chase your grind, you know. It comes with a lot of headaches and pain and tears and, you know, thoughts that I don't want to do this anymore. But
it sounds like you've been reading my diary.
I'm just pouring my thoughts out too.
I appreciate it.
Keep going, you know. Don't let it stop.
Well, thank you very much. Oh, yeah, I love both of you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.